Welcome to the NCHC Radio Show, the podcast version. I'm Jim Rich, along with Kevin Fulness, and the return to normal for the NCHC is closing in quickly. The pursuit of the Penrose will resume with fans jamming arenas all across the conference. In this show, you'll hear from all eight head coaches and some of the star players of the NCHC as we get you set for another stunning season. First, though, let's start with the Red Hawks of Miami, a team that looks to climb up the standings, and they are led by Captain Derek Dashke. The veteran blue liner joined Kevin, and he says he's excited to see all the fans back at the rink.
Yeah, no, things in Miami have been good. Things are relatively back to normal. You know, it's mass to class, but everything else around town seems to be back to pretty normal.
So then, as we make our way back towards normal hockey, how excited are you to get on the ice and just play hockey and not have to think about some of the other things that go along with a global pandemic as you're trying to navigate the world?
Yeah, for sure. It'll be great. Really excited to be back in our home building with fans and just every building with fans and not worry about, you know, who's quarantining this and that, and hopefully we'll have a great season.
Tell me a little bit about what it's been like to learn under Chris Bergeron now, the guy behind the bench, your head coach, what it's been like getting to learn from him as you see this program continue to progress.
It's been great. You know, Berge, he never lets me be comfortable. He always challenges me to be better and better every day. And I think that's something that's really important for me is not being comfortable and being challenged every day because, you know, you can always be a better player. And I think he always he illustrates that to us is not only to be better players, but to be better people as well.
What did you know about him before he took the reins of the Red Hawk program? And what has it been like then? I know in watching him with Bowling Green, he seemed like a pretty serious, no-nonsense guy and always had something to say. What did you know about him before he took it over? And how has it been different now that he is the guy?
All I heard about him from Bowling Green is that he was tough, somewhat of a yeller. But he doesn't really seem to yell that much. But we also heard about this tough physical fitness test that they had at Bowling Green, which luckily they didn't implement it at Miami. We changed it around a bit, but they used to have some crazy running test. But we ran the beep test, which was pretty challenging, but nothing compared to what they had before. And then since he's been there, you know, it's been great. Like I said, he really challenges us, and he pushes, and he really wants the best out of every individual.
That's Derek Dashke. He'll be an important cog to the Red Hawks' success this season. And he talked about the systems being installed by head coach Chris Bergeron, who is starting his fourth season in charge of the Red Hawks.
Chris, it's got to be nice to have some normalcy. There's still some COVID protocols lurking, but nothing like what you had to jump through last season.
Yeah, all of us. I mean, we all jumped through the same thing. And I even felt like once we got home from the pod and got the boys back from vacation, holiday, whatever, not vacation, but the holiday season, it became kind of normal. Now, there was still the protocols, but they almost became normal. And then we get through the summer and get back on campus now. And with the vaccinations out there and so on and so forth, the protocols are definitely different. And it does seem like normal. And then, you know, we're here in Minnesota. This is only my second time being at Media Day because last year was canceled. And then the year before was my first year in Miami. So this makes it feel normal and also makes it feel like hockey's right around the corner.
Yeah, it truly is. And it does seem like the clubs really are ramped up, ready to go, where last year there was so much, are we starting, are we stopping, we're not quite sure.
For sure.
Everything's laid out, the entire schedule is there. It's got to have a better feel to things.
100%. I think all of us, I'll say at the Division I level, coaches, players, staff, we're all creatures of habit, and we, at every level, but all I know is the Division I hockey level, and to have, this is your plan, this is what you're doing, the certainty of that is much, much better than 12 months ago. As you say, the word uncertainty was our life 12 months ago, and no one knew what was going on, and now it's much different, much more normal, as you said.
The blueprint for success is in place for the Red Hawks. Meanwhile, in Minnesota Duluth, they don't need to change anything, and that's a good thing. He's been there for two decades and already has three national championships to his name.
name, Scott Sandlin, is running a juggernaut on the shores of Lake Superior. Because of the success they've had, many say it's easy for the Bulldogs again this year. But Sandlin knows that's not the story.
We'd like to think we can, but that train has some obstacles every year, right? So it's never easy. You know, it's hard to stay there. I mean, obviously, we set a bar pretty high, and, you know, we've had, you know, success, like you said. But, you know, again, our older guys know what it takes. You know, the beauty of it is because of some of those experiences, I think, for our incoming players and guys that are in our program to go through that, I think has really helped to kind of fuel that. And they know what it takes. They know that even if you struggle maybe in a certain part of the year, just stay with it. And, you know, the most important part is trying to improve your team so at the end of the year you're playing your best hockey and having that opportunity hopefully to get into, you know, the playoffs and the NCAA tournament.
The expectations, how do you handle that with the group? That, you know, we are expected to be here. You know, I'm sure you don't have to talk about it every day or point at the banners that are hanging from the top of the arena. But, you know, how are those expectations implemented?
You know, we talked briefly. I think everyone knows that. I think kids that are coming into the program, like a lot of the teams in our league, there's high standards, and kids know that. But as far as internally, you know, we don't spend a lot of time on it. We talk about how we're going to get there, what it takes to get there. And try and put it into more of a short-term focus, because it's easy for the fans, it's easy for even some of our players to go, oh, it's just going to happen, and it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work. You got to have there's ups and downs, there's luck, there's everything that goes into, you know, getting those opportunities to even get to the NCAA tournament. First, you got to survive our league, and that's getting harder and harder every year, as you see. But anybody that comes out of our league, you know, has a chance, but there's no question it's very difficult, and you just have to manage it in more of a short-term focus.
You look at your team, where do you feel this group will draw its leadership on? Is it those guys that are coming back for the fifth year, or are there other leaders that you like and see among your group?
There are. I mean, obviously this year Noah's going to be a captain again. Great to have him back for his senior year. His actual senior year, you know, it's a two-time captain. You know, Louis Rail coming back for his fifth year. He wore a letter last year, another guy. We got obviously two new guys in Kobe Roth and Tanner Ladru who are wearing letters that didn't last year, but, you know, are seniors and fifth-year seniors. So, and those guys have had a lot of experience with us, and they know what it takes. And there's other guys in that room, too, the Matt Andersons that might not be wearing a letter, Kobe Bender. You know, these are the older guys, and you got to rely on them. So they've been through a lot of it. They've had success. Obviously, last year they had the taste of not winning it, so it's a little bit different for those guys. So we're going to see how motivated they are, and having that motivation still doesn't guarantee anything. As I've said 100 times, you got to go out there, you got to perform, and I think these guys you know, are going to get us through the tough times, because I think there's going to be some just with our league and the year, and even the way our year starts. We've got a very difficult start, and we've got to navigate that, like I said, in short segments.
One of the guys Sandlin and the Bulldogs will be counting on is Noah Cates. He's an important piece to their championship aspirations, but not the only piece. That's because of COVID rules that are allowing players to get another year of eligibility. That means Cates will be joined by some guys that he thought wouldn't be at Amsoil Arena this season.
What is it like to have guys that you didn't think were going to come back, come back? What does that mean to the team?
Yeah, it's obviously awesome. They're excited. They get that extra year, and they're not gonna waste it. And hopefully, COVID's not gonna ruin it. But just talking about those guys and their experience winning 2 national championships, it's an incredible thing to have around the rink. Showing those younger guys kind of what it takes day in and day out to get to that level and get to that point. And we're so fortunate to have them around. And hopefully, we can give another one.
And just lastly, about fans, do you have a new appreciation for fans now playing a season without them?
For sure. They're huge. There's nothing better than Amsoil when it's packed, and I just can't wait for the first game and against Bemidji when we kind of sell out that building and just running out on that ice with 9,000-10,000 fans. It's giving me goosebumps right now, so I can't wait.
What was it like? How did you get yourself up? Was it strange sometimes? Were you looking around? Or take us through that if you can.
Yeah, definitely right away, you were just happy to play again. You didn't need the fans, you didn't need anything, but kind of the dog days, the middle of the season, you know, definitely was a little weird, a little slower, a little less energy. So you definitely took an appreciation for it. And then as kind of things started ramping up, 15, 20% fans, it helped. But full this year, we'll definitely get the goosebumps going, get you feeling good, and get that energy back in the buildings.
Isn't it crazy how, you know, you don't really take it, or, you know, they say they take it for granted, or players, you hear them on TV being interviewed on SportsCenter, we didn't hear the crowd. You do hear the crowd. They do influence a game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just the roar of the crowd, and like you said, we're not taking anything for granted this year. Just excited to be back playing, fans and everything for a lot of guys last year's in this program. So we're all very excited, and we can't wait to get going.
Well, things are pretty recognizable at Duluth. In Colorado Springs, there's plenty of change. From a new building to a new head coach, it's the dawning of a new day for the Colorado College Tigers, and senior defenseman Brian Yoon has a front row seat for it all.
Brian, just about all the changes going on in Colorado, it's got to been a crazy time right now. What's it been like for you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a hectic summer. Like you said, we were all waiting. We were all excited for the new rink. We got a new coaching staff. We got a new strength coach. It kind of seemed like everything was changing. So I'm happy that everything's kind of getting a little more smooth, a little more mellow, and I'm excited to get going.
How do you, as a leader of the team, obviously you guys are talking while the coaching staff isn't around. How do you guys prepare or buy in, so to speak, to a new program, to a new voice?
Well, I think that we just really have to kind of keep preaching what the coaching staff has been saying. And, you know, we all agree with it. It's nothing that we don't think is right. So it's not too hard to have everyone buy in. And the biggest thing is that if we just can't be hypocrites about anything we say, we got to do what we're saying and make sure that everyone's following suit.
What do you see out of this group? I mean, because you guys, you know, have shown great spurts and have been right there, and then all of a sudden injuries get you or something sidetracks the team. Where do you feel the Tigers are at right now?
You know, I think that the long summer here was a good little reset for everyone, and everyone's ready to get back. We've had a couple good days of practice, and everyone's really showing a lot of compete and a lot of hard work. So I think if we can keep that up and keep that morale up for a while, then, you know, sky's the limit.
All right, new building. I saw a video online of you guys walking in when they let you into the dressing room and just a chance to look at the building. What's that like to have a brand new building for you guys to christen?
It's insane. I mean, honestly, it's been hard to put into words because, you know, that's all anyone's caring about right now. And I agree. I'm super excited for it, and I can't wait for the first game to play in there. But having that rink on campus is going to be a game changer for this program, and I'm excited for it.
The 15th head coach in the history of the illustrious Tigers program is Chris Mayotte, who comes over from the Providence Friars.
What is it like stepping in to a program like that that's had so much great history and success over the years, and to help bring it back? It was already on the rise a little bit, and now your job is to get it back up there with all the heavyweights.
Yeah, exactly. And it's incredibly humbling. It's a very unique situation. Like you said, it's got incredible history and incredible tradition. At the same time, there's so much new happening at the same time. You know, we have a new athletic director who is kind of putting in a championship culture all over the athletic department, a brand new, you know, beautiful arena in Ed Ropeson Arena, a new staff. And so it feels like there's a blank canvas on what is one of the most historic programs in the country, which I don't think that opportunity presents itself very often. But it's and it's exciting. When I was going through college hockey, CC was a place that everybody wanted to play and everybody wanted to go. And now that I'm, you know, actually inside the walls of CC, it's you see why. You know, we have a great academic institution. We play in the best league in the country, and now we have an arena that fits both.
Yeah, I was just talking to Brian about that, and he says it's amazing how it's changed the culture around there. He said, before with the World Arena, there was other events, so we couldn't really be there. He said, now we just kind of gravitate towards it. We're just there. We just come there, watch college football on Saturdays there and stuff like that. And he says it's really kind of tied the program together.
Well, and that's the exciting thing, is I think for our staff, is just to see the amount of time guys can spend there. And, you know, when you talk about recruiting and you talk about building a program, we obviously have great academic standard at CC, but you want guys that want to be rink rats, and you want guys that want to put in the time to get better and to be around each other and grow as teammates and grow as a group. And this place gives us that opportunity, and it's an opportunity that, you know, quite honestly, hasn't been a reality at CC in our history. So, and to see guys using it that way is really gratifying. And I know it probably doesn't sound like the most exciting thing to fans and maybe people who put into the arena, but just to see the enjoyment and the satisfaction that guys get out of it, not just, you know, what they're doing on the ice, not just when they walk in the locker room, but you know, getting in the cold tub, getting an extra lift in, shooting extra pucks, just being around each other. I think that's where you really see growth.
The Tigers have a rich tradition, and they're hoping to add more chapters starting this season. St. Cloud State added to their history last year with a run all the way to the national championship game before falling to UMass. Senior captain Spencer Meyer was there last year and is hoping to rewrite history again this time around.
Are the expectations now risen in the room? Are you the same? What's it been like?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of buzz around town about, you know, we got there last year, we have a lot of returners coming back, so there is a lot of high expectations, but you got to take that, you know, and just go day by day. You know, you got to take each day as a chance to get better and a chance to improve on your game. And, you know, it's a new year. You know, yeah, last year happened, but people don't understand how hard it is to get there, you know, and it starts from day one. That's, you know, starts now, and it goes all the way through. So you gotta work hard each day and just try and get better. And it's a fun ride.
So how crazy was that ride last year? I mean, at the start of the season, you know, it didn't seem like there was the pieces there for an NCAA championship game run. Yet all of a sudden you got there.
Yeah.
Was there a moment now that you can look back and say, well, you know, when this happened, all of a sudden we were kind of like, you know what? We are pretty dang good.
Right. Well, I think it's all weird, right? Because last year at this time we were like, are we starting in November or are we starting January 1st? You know, so we didn't know what was going on. And then, you know, we got down to Omaha and we started playing and we had a great bubble down there. And we started to realize, like, we're just as good as these top teams, and we can play, you know? So I think our mentality was, like I said before, is each day just show up and work your butts off, you know? So I think it's, you know, I think we have to have that mentality of, yeah, we're high skilled, we're, you know, stuff like that, but our work has to be their work, you know? So I think that's what it was down the road. We just kept believing in ourselves, and it was just a fun ride. You took it game by game. You know, we go to Albany for the regional, you know, win one, win two, going to the Frozen Four, win that one, going to the championship game. You know, we lose that one, but it was crazy, and it was a great experience for all of us.
Brett Larson is the head coach of the Huskies, entering his fourth season. He's bringing back a loaded roster, one that is picked to win the NCHC this year and hoist the Penrose Cup. And he knows his team is no longer a secret among his rivals.
There's no sneaking up on anybody this year. The coaches just picked you to be the Penrose Cup champs. Does that change anything for you, that the expectations have been raised this season by outside sources?
That's, I was going to go to that, because in our locker room last year, when the polls came out, we weren't even really mentioned, or, you know, obviously I think we're mid-pack in the league and not mentioned nationally. our expectations were a lot higher than that. Maybe they weren't on the outside, but on the inside they were. And I think every year this team comes to the rink with high expectations. And this is something people will talk about for a couple days. It's a nice honor and whatnot. But, you know, in a few weeks when the puck really drops, you're not really thinking about that pull, what that pull was, Jim. You're thinking about, hey, we got to win our first hockey game. We got to get better the next night. We got to keep building, moving forward from there. Is it nice right now? Sure. But it only lasts a couple days, and then it's back to work.
You look at playing in front of no fans. You know, you hear the quotes from players on SportsCenter. Well, we didn't hear the crowd. I think maybe now that is not true, because everybody that went through it now really does appreciate what those people that put money on the table to come and watch you play, what they really mean to a game and to an environment.
They mean everything. I mean, that's the game. Hockey's a passionate game, right? It's a game where guys are laying all on the line, certainly playing for their teammates, doing whatever they can to get the job done. But there's an energy that the fans bring that takes it to another level. And I can think of so many games where that was such a part of it. And I can think of, you know, overtime games or games where you get a couple quick goals on a power play and now you're back in it and your home building's rocking and that energy's just pumping through your team and you can feel it. You can feel it on the opposing bench if it's going against you. And it's just such a part of our game, that passion, the excitement, the energy that the fans bring. I know we got asked this question earlier. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most? And Spencer and I both answered it immediately. And that was the energy that the fans bring and having that excitement back in the rink.
Last thing for you, your schedule is no walk in the park. On paper again.
That sounded good last year when we were putting that thing together. You know, it sounded fun for the fans. And now I'm thinking, man, but we've got to win some of these games too. So, yeah, excited. But, boy, every weekend's going to be an absolute battle. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now let's turn our attention to the Denver Pioneers, a team that had plenty of chances a year ago, but had trouble finishing. According to senior captain Cole Gutman, that was something that definitely had their attention this offseason.
Yeah, that's something we definitely want to put an emphasis on going into the year. We got to definitely put the puck in the back of the net more than we did last year if we want to be successful. So I think a lot of it comes from the smaller details in the game that we need to focus on, capitalizing on special teams and everything that goes into that. So we last year wasn't the year we wanted, so we're really excited for this upcoming one.
When you look at it and you get the chance to come back again, how much does that fuel you? Because I read about you and you're a kid that's basically self-made, self-motivated, that you drive yourself. How much pleasure do you take in the chance that, yeah, I get to come back and make this right?
Yeah, it's pretty special to come back to Denver and do it again. We definitely want to use last year's fuel, but at the same time, we want to put it behind us and forget about it and then just focus on the new freshmen coming in and the new group we have and having a consistently strong year.
When you're a leader like that, what do you tell a freshman that comes in, you know, and now you're a Pioneer, you know, because obviously you need these guys, you know, they have to be a part of this right away. How do you help make teammates feel more comfortable being part of the Pioneer family?
Yeah, the special thing about our freshman group is that they have the ability to come in and make an impact right away. So I think for us older guys and leaders, we just got to tell them what Pioneer hockey is all about and what NCHC play is all about and pretty much what it takes to win. I know that's what the seniors did when I came in as a freshman and kind of just set the standard of where you need to be.
You look at this league. You've been it for a while. Is it enjoyable? Is it ridiculous? what adjective would you use to describe what it's like playing in this every Friday and Saturday night?
No, I would definitely go with enjoyable. It's some of the highest competition that you get in college hockey. You're playing against some of the best teams in the country pretty much every night, and we're fortunate enough to play in front of all the fans in big arenas, so we hope to get back this upcoming year. But I think the high compete and the high level of play that goes into NCHC prepares you for playoffs and also the next level.
And you look at this conference, and it seems to do well whoever survives it and goes on to the NCAA tournament. Do you think that's because of how rugged a schedule this is in conference every week? There's no gimmies per se?
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence of the amount of national championships that has come out of this conference.
When you're playing these teams pretty much every night, it's pretty much playoff hockey. And that definitely prepares you. And I don't know if other conferences get that in their weekly games, but we're definitely fortunate for that, and it definitely helps in the end.
His head coach is David Carl. He's looking forward to having a schedule to plan for rather than trying to figure one out on the fly, which was part of the plan last season because of COVID-19.
Yeah, it is refreshing, certainly, and much appreciated. I think we all know hockey players are creatures of habit, a little superstitious at times, and they like to make plans. So we have a schedule. We've started on the ice with our preseason camp. With our whole team, and so that's been much appreciated compared to where we were last year. So yeah, definitely is feeling a lot more normal than we were at this point last season.
Lastly for you, the Pioneer program and where it's at right now in your eyes. I mean, I know you have expectations, I know you have standards, and how do you get these new players? Like you said, you're bringing in a pretty hefty freshman class, plus the transfers. How do you get them to understand what the expectations are?
Yeah, it's a lot more communication than what we were able to do in the COVID world. And in getting that part of it back, the guys communicating with one another, hanging out with each other, you know, they weren't able to do that last year. Getting us in front of them, you know, getting them comfortable talking to us, getting alumni in the room talking to the guys about the meaning of the program, just little things like that. It's really simple, stupid, in my opinion, but it's basic stuff that that leads to success. And so we've tried to reset that, make sure that everyone's team first, bought into, you know, and being 2 feet in to what we're doing. I think our guys, led by Cole Gutman and our great leadership group, are ready to show and prove that last year wasn't who we are. And we've got a real motivated group to start the year in 3 weeks.
Big in college hockey this season, the college transfer rule, with players now granted the opportunity to switch schools and not have to sit out for a year. It's going to have a major impact on everyone in college hockey, including at North Dakota. Senior captain Mark Senden knows there'll be a period of teaching these new guys what it means to be a Fighting Hawk.
This season coming up, you guys, a lot of guys moved on, turned pro, signed contracts, graduated, but we know the bar that the Fighting Hawks have every single year.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does not. No.
So what has this been like? What has to happen for you to get back to that lofty perch?
We have five transfers, which is huge. You know, that brings a lot of older guys. They're older guys, at least, and they have the college experience, which is nice. And we have nine freshmen, and, you know, all the freshmen, they bring great talent. And, you know, just watching them throughout the summer and practices we've had there here in the last few weeks, it's great to watch them because, you know, they're really, really good players. And, you know, everyone's learning fast. And I guess that's kind of the one thing we all got to do right now is just, you know, kind of get those systems all locked down, because most of the time you don't have this large of a turnover, and that's probably the key aspect to making sure everyone learns our systems very well and stuff. So that's one thing we're really focusing on right now.
How do you welcome in such a big group? Because you know what it takes to win there. You know what it's like to play in front of a sellout crowd night after night, and the expectations are, you know, NCAA tournament, that's where we're going. National championship. There, see all these banners? We need to make room for another one.
Yep.
What do you tell those guys that come in?
I mean, just basically every day when you get to the rink, be ready to work and come here with a good attitude and, you know, smile on your face, because one day it's going to be gone, and enjoy it now and work hard while you're here. I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, every player that comes into North Dakota knows the expectations that we have at North Dakota. So everyone's fully prepared to, you know, tackle that mountain per se. And, you know, everyone loves the pressure almost. And that's what it is. I mean, guys come here knowing they're going to have to work, and that's what they do.
The head coach in Grand Forks, of course, is Brad Berry. A year ago, he won a Penrose Cup and the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. But now he's got a ton of new faces, and that was out of necessity, as 7 of his 8 top scorers are gone. And with it, nearly 60% of his offense from a year ago, meaning that this will be quite the challenge.
You know, I was just saying to somebody today, normally that a big freshman class is probably 7-8 freshmen, but we lost 14 players. So to bring in 14 freshmen, that would have been really, really tough. We did bring in 9 freshmen, and we have 5 transfers from other programs that are coming in. Normally we don't, you know, we had 1 transfer in years past with Weston Michaud from Colorado College. Other than that, we've had really no transfers. But this year is one where we needed a little bit more experience, and there were some guys that wanted to play an extra year of college hockey, and they're going to help us. They're going to help us from an experience standpoint, from an offensive standpoint of trying to score some goals, and just helping those younger guys out come along, because the NCHC is so tough. And again, we want to make sure that we try to have a lot of experience here to help those guys.
How do you indoctrinate them, though, into your program? Because they've already had 4 years of something else, but not what North Dakota has.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, part of that is trying to bring them in the summertime a little bit earlier. You know, in when you get into October 2nd, the puck drops, it's game on, right? And what we try to do, not only in this past year with 14 new guys, but every year, is try to get everybody together. So obviously in the summertime, it's a voluntary basis where the guys voluntarily come in, and our guys all want to come in and train together. So just getting them in and around each other, working together in the weight room, taking some classes, spending time with each other just to feel comfortable with each other is the biggest thing. And then the other part for that is it doesn't take long for the new guys to talk to the old guys and the coaches as far as what North Dakota hockey is, our identity, our expectations, you know, what makes us successful from year to year. So I think it's just getting them up to speed early on before October 2nd hits.
Lastly for you, what will fans mean being back in the buildings, having a year without them yeah. removed? How do you think it will react with your players?
Well, you know what? That's another great question, because the 13 players, and there's some of those players that haven't experienced 12,000 in our rink. You know, like the sophomores this year, they had 3,000 in our rink. We were in a couple different pod situations last year. So for the majority of our team, they haven't played in front of 12,000 people, or they haven't played in a packed house. And I think that's going to be most reminiscent of other teams, too. They're going to have to get used to playing in front of, you know, in St. Cloud and Duluth and different places where they have loud, passionate fan bases. It's going to be something different, but it's going to be exciting, man. It's going to be really exciting to have college hockey back and with all their fans in the stands.
Another new head coach in the conference is at Western Michigan, and it's Pat Furschweiler. Now, he's very familiar with the Bronco way, as he was an assistant under the legendary Andy Murray and also was the captain while he played at Kalamazoo. So even though he's very well-versed in what Western is like, he still now is going to make this program his own.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have each head coach has a plan. Andy had a plan, and he executed it through 30 years of coaching, you know, in a great way. Obviously, his success in the National League, his success internationally and in college is well documented. I have a plan as well. And you know, I coached, I created my own program at the midget level and was head coach for 8 years before I came to Western. So that I had to come to Western to learn to be an assistant coach. And so being back in charge of a group is I'm real comfortable with. And I have a plan that starts every year the exact same way. And then the players determine how quickly we move forward with it. And I have a philosophy of you don't expect it till you've taught it. And we'll start with the assumption that no one knows anything. And we'll teach it to them that year, and then we'll expect it from them right after that.
And it's a unique team that you have there. There's so much talent there. There's so many, you know, blossoming stars almost there in that program. That it's remarkable the talent that you have at your disposal. So that's got to make the transition quicker for you, correct?
Not only are we a talented group, and I believe in these guys for sure, and you're dead on the money on that, and we have a lot of players that are, have a high ceiling of potential, but this group works real hard, and they come every day to get better.
And so they're a very tight-knit group. They're a really fun group to coach because they give you everything they have every day, and there's not much more a coach can ask than that.
You look at the team, and you've been at the National Hockey League level, so you know, obviously, all the inner workings. What kind of things do you want your players to understand about being a Bronco and about having success in this league?
Well, being a Bronco is, you know, I was a Bronco as well and a former captain. And I think that's, our program is based on pride. We recruit kids that want to be there, that love being part of our program, that take great pride in giving the best they can for our school, for our great students, and for our great crowds that come every day. So our guys are proud, you know, of our logo. They're proud of our school. They're proud of each other and the effort they give every day. So those are the kind of kids that we try to bring in. And at the next level, you know, I have talked to them about, you know, the best players at the next level are the best players every single day. Lucky enough to coach Pavel Datsyuk in his last year of pro, and what a pleasure that was. And you know, lucky enough to coach Henrik Zetterberg for a few years and Nick Cronwall, and the standard they set for themselves every day in practice. There's never a doubt who the best guy in practice is going to be. It's one of those three. And then number two and number three are the other two. So, the Red Wings are benefiting from that right now, as Dylan Larkin learned that lesson from Hank Zetterberg, and our players, I'm hoping can take some of that from me. But, you know, we have a great captain in our own right, Paul Washey. He sets a standard every day that our players have to live up to as well.
Speaking of his Paul Washey, that's his captain. He knows all about what Pat Furschweiler is going to bring to the table, being that he was around under Andy Murray, and Walshy says that will help in the transition big time.
No kidding, exactly that. Excited to play for Coach Furschweiler. We're excited for the opportunity coming this year, and we feel great about everything.
How about Andy? What are you going to take away from your time with Coach Murray?
Well, I had 4 years under him, and I feel like I took a lot for as a hockey player and in life. Detail-orientedness, lots of lessons that I can apply forever. So I'm very thankful to be able to say I played for Coach Murray.
All right, let's talk about this group and what you've accomplished at Western, because this team is just always right there. You guys are always in every night. You're always in the dogfight right to the end of the season. What do you expect this time around?
I would expect for us to be right back there this year. And, you know, we're a program that's looking to make that step, that's looking to, you know, accomplish a few more things and find ourselves playing in big games at the end of the season. And we feel like we have the potential to do that. So it's a day-in, day-out effort. You know, we've got to continue to get better and push each other and compete every night. So that's our plan.
Where does that come from? That drive, is it from the past success that you draw on it, that, you know, we are right there, you know, if we finish this, you know, just push ourselves a little farther, we've got this, or how do you look at that? Or
yeah, certainly I think you can look at you know, what's happened previously, and you know, you can pick apart anything, but you know, you want to continue to improve. You want to improve as a program and as individual players. You want to improve. And it's about the next thing. And, you know, we play in this competitive conference, and we're playing against great competition every night. And, you know, you always want to see how you stack up. And eventually, you know, you want to find yourself at the top. So we're playing for a championship. That's our goal. And we're excited for the opportunity that we have in front of us. And we think we've got a great opportunity this year.
One team that NCHC fans should keep an eye on, Nebraska-Omaha. The Mavericks are looking to buck the odds and climb a home playoff spot this season, as the Mavs are returning their top 14 scorers from a year ago and also have a workhorse netminder. And their captain, Kevin Conley, agrees that they have all the pieces for a big year in Omaha.
This team a year ago, quite a run, and you have a lot of those pieces back. How do you feel about what you have cooking in Omaha right now?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think we have a lot to build on off of last year's season. And having those guys come back is, with that experience and with guys now knowing what to expect, kind of what it takes to win at in the playoffs and in the NCAA tournament. So it's exciting, and we definitely know we got better, and we can win a couple more games. But yeah, to have that experience, it's a huge advantage.
does that really help the whole group? You know, the okay, this is what it took for us to get to this point, you know, versus coaches tell you, they show you videos, but to live it, I mean, does that make things a lot easier going through these workouts in the off season and pushing yourself when you're thinking like, okay, really, is this really going to do something? You know, they say it is,
yeah,
but now you know it does.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it gives a lot of motivation for that, because you know, we knew how much it took to get there, and now the motivation even this past summer to get even farther, that in being there, you know what it takes, so it's like, okay, it's easier to work that hard because you want it that badly. So I think, it's that, like you said, it's being there is having that experience is good. And just a little extra motivation.
So what happened last year? Why did this come together? Have you been able to put a finger on what happened last season that allowed the Mavericks to have that kind of success?
I think the biggest thing was we played to our strengths, and our strengths are playing fast, hard, and physical. And that was kind of our identity, and we made teams not want to play against us. And going into this year, we could be a little more consistent in playing that way to win some more games. And because we've proven that we can beat some of the best teams in the country. And I think if we can bring that level every single night, we can be a top team in the country.
Confidence, where does that fit into this equation?
I think it's a huge part of our game. And I think when you're confident, you can be consistent. If you trust in your ability, you trust in the guy sitting next to you, and you trust the coaching staff and everybody else surrounding UNO. I think when you have that, that's the confidence can just build and builds off each other. So I think that's a huge, important key to success.
The head coach for the Mavericks is Mike Gabinet, who's done a marvelous job building a winning culture with the Mavericks, and he has high hopes for what's to come this season.
Kevin was just in here talking about the fact that when he came in, they had 9 wins, and now they're coming off a year where they were in the NCAA tournament and that close to being why he signed up there. How much pride do you take in where this program has gone under your leadership?
Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting, like, first and foremost for the players. It's nice, exciting to have those experience now of going to the NCAA tournament and doing well and really developing guys and seeing our, you know, both individually and collectively growing and coming to new heights as a program. So that's exciting. That's what you want to do as a head coach. You want to lead these guys in that direction. And just proud of the way we've done it, too. I think we've done it the right way, recruiting the right guys. And there's no magic pill. There's no quick fix. You know, in my experience, you got to do things the right way. They take time and through hard work and staying consistent. And we've done that. And so we're just, you know, continuing to, obviously, with the great conference we play in, you know, it's never done. And just when you think you're good, you look and 7 other teams look pretty good, too. So, but we're, you know, we're working hard and we just want to keep taking steps in the right direction.
Well, you have a unique opportunity here. I think it's 14 of your top 15 scorers are back from a year ago. What does that allow you to do? Does that allow you to say, all right, we're starting here as opposed to at the bottom? This group, you guys already know this. We've already had success, so we're picking it up at this point as opposed to maybe back a few steps. Is that the approach?
You know, I don't get too caught up in, you know, in the rearview mirror too much. And as they say, kind of keep your focus on that windshield and what you got coming forward. So one of the things we preach all the time is just kind of staying, you know, today matters. Staying where you're at for today. Stay where your mind's at, where your feet are at right now. And but also understanding that we do have some veteran guys that are returning and that their knowledge is probably a little bit higher than an incoming freshman. And so I think you want to build on some of the things you did in the past, but not forget about your foundation that's allowed you to have success in the past as well, and making sure you really establish that and not skip over things because you do have some returners. So we just really want to stay consistent in our approach and continue to build, but also
We can draw on some of those experiences now. That's why it's called experiences, because you've lived it and you've, you know, played in an NCAA tournament game. You understand what it takes to play at that level, and you've had some success, you've had some failures, and as long as we continue to grow, I'm happy. But again, I just, you know, I think it's so important. I mean, we were in, you know, 8-1 goal games last year. And so there's that, you know, that small margin for you know, success or failure. So you really got to be dialed in on what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and that's where our focus will stay at for sure.
Last but not least, let's get a quick check of the state of the NCHC with Commissioner Josh Fenton. And you'd better believe he's ready to get things back to normal, or at least something a little closer than we're used to.
Well, we certainly hope that there's some sense of normality in the season in terms of the schedule and the cadence that we play hockey games on, and that we don't have the disruptions that we had last year. You know, I'm not here to declare that COVID's over, because I think there's still a lot yet to work our way through. But we're more optimistic, certainly, than if we took me back a year ago about what this year is going to look like compared to last year. Last year was throw the playbook out, write a new playbook. This year is maybe go back to that original playbook a little bit. So we're optimistic that we'll get there and have a good, successful season in kind of a normal sense.
How proud are you of your organization and your schools to put together what you did a year ago, coming together and building that pod and taking that enormous risk, yet the benefits of it turned out to be fantastic?
Yeah, I mean, we're really proud. I'm really proud. Like I said, there was really no way in which, you know, somebody said to you, hey, you got to do it this way. You know, everything we did last year was almost starting from scratch. And it started with kind of the vision of how the season was going to look, the divisions of the conference, the schedule layout, which included starting in Omaha in the pod, and then having a bunch of open weekends in the second half, trying to eliminate long distance travel, and then, you know, wrapping it up in a postseason tournament format that became single elimination at a site that we had never hosted a tournament before. So, you know, it was a lot of things that were not normal last year. But I give full credit to our student athletes, our coaches, support staff, and our medical personnel. Those are the ones, Jim, that really had to persevere through challenging protocols on a week-to-week basis. You know, it was our job to exhaust every option to have a successful season, and I think we came up with a plan that worked fairly well. We certainly had some hiccups along the way, but ultimately we were there to play hockey, and I think we accomplished that goal.
Let's look to the future. You're coming back here to this building this March. How pleasing is it to have that carrot at the end of your schedule?
Yeah, I don't think I'd been back in downtown St. Paul since maybe February of 2020. I think I was here for a planning meeting for the 2020 championship, and then obviously we canceled it shortly before it was supposed to begin. And so for me, when I came back into the city yesterday, and I felt like the city had a little bit of vibrance to it, which was great. There were people walking around. There were people in restaurants and bars. It just brought a smile back to my face and an excitement to bring the tournament back to where I think it belongs, which is right here in downtown St. Paul in this wonderful building, Xcel Energy Center. And so, you know, I got to see Jack Larson, the general manager, yesterday, and a few other people associated with the building in the wild. And so just getting reconnected to them has me feeling good about where we're going to be, where we're going, and ultimately being here next March.
And for your fans that have been faithful to this league throughout, giving them, the ones that had tickets for the canceled event a couple of years ago now, back.
Yeah.
They get first crack to be back here for this.
Yeah, absolutely. The renewal process, you know, began today. And so we're excited to welcome all those people back. And then anybody new that wants to come on board once we go to the on sale in early November. So it's going to be a fantastic event. We've obviously got a new wrinkle here without a third place game, and we've got a Minnesota Wild game kind of in the middle of it. Ultimately, we were kind of working towards that being the vision for the event, to make it a hockey weekend experience that involved the NCHC plus the Wild. And so I think we have it, and not to mention they're playing the Chicago Blackhawks, which I know people around here love to come out and watch and certainly hate. So we think it's going to be a great weekend experience, and we look forward to welcome everybody back next March.
And lastly, your message to the fans of the NCHC for their support throughout what you had to go through last year and the way you'll be welcoming back this season.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I would say is I'm sorry that you weren't able to watch hockey in person like you normally do last year. Obviously, everybody understands the circumstances, but people are passionate about the programs in our conference, and I think they've developed some passion for our conference overall, and so they're taking that ability away from them, I know, was tough. But as we saw with our digital network, we saw record viewership. That means they were still engaged with the conference. And, you know, we're very appreciative of their support and look forward to obviously welcoming them back into our venues this coming year. And then a great, wonderful crowd at the end here at Xcel Energy Center in the Frozen Faceoff.
That's Josh Fenton, and that should get you ready for the upcoming season. I'm Jim Rich for Kevin Faulness. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the rink.